came back yesterday, you know, and then I said, you know what, instead of our 30-minute halacha, because of the time change and everything like that, and because of the great schus of being able to be part of Hachnasa Seva Torah, you know, the point of our BMP program is to learn hands-on halachas, halacha lamaisa. So Baruch Hashem, the camp is so nice that they brought a processional of the Sefer Torah, so we could do hands-on halacha, even though normally it's done on Thursdays. We're going to do it today. We'll take part a little bit in Kesivas Osio, so you see exactly what that is, although I'm sure many of you have seen it, but that would be part of our hands-on halacha, so it'll be Yoyse Zayin, since we won't do it on Thursday. So it was about 1 o'clock in the morning, and I said, well, why don't we learn some of the halachas? So I started researching it then, but it's okay, it was camp time, so it was really 2 o'clock. So Baruch Hashem. So I had the extra 20 minutes to sleep. That's good. So this is not going to be an in-depth review of the halachas of some beautiful and fun lumdis, which we don't have time for, some cute sales or chuvas, maybe for another time, but just to get down the halachas as much as we can. So there is a Gemara in Menachos on Daf Lamed, which it opened up to, so that's great, which tells us of the mitzvah of a person writing a Sefer Torah. And it says the following, that a person who writes a Sefer Torah is ki'ilu, someone who is ki'ilu, accepting the Torah in Har Sinai. This is obviously quite a feat for a person to do. One of the discussions which we'll have today is that it's a very expensive mitzvah. It's not stam a mitzvah that a person does. It costs, you know, obviously over $30,000. Even in the time where Moshe Feinstein wrote his Jews, he questioned whether or not a person would be chayav today. I mean, I guess always it was a very expensive mitzvah, so we know that you don't have to spend more than a fifth. So he questioned if this was just a rich man's mitzvah, and that a person would not have a chiyuv today to write a Sefer Torah in the same way. However, there are people who, Baruch Hashem, have this mitzvah. There are other Jews that discuss the fact that, Baruch Hashem, we have so many Sefer Torah. Many shuls not only do not need a Sefer Torah, they don't want another Sefer Torah. And then, in general, that's not so true, because you can always find a shul that needs a Torah. In fact, in Eretz Yisrael, there's a wonderful campaign that's been going on at least since my Shana, so we're talking about over 20 years, where Mr. Rennert has been donating probably in the thousands of Sefer Torah for Yishuvim that want a Sefer Torah. There are many of them who weren't from, but they want to have Shabbos davening and things like that, so he does it. He does the same thing with Mikvos. It's an unbelievable mitzvah. Mamish, unbelievable mitzvah. Fine. So let's discuss now the mitzvah itself. So in first, the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos codifies l'halacha, a person writing a Sefer Torah. And as I'm sure you know, and not surprisingly, I'm sure, that the Pasuk tells us that one of the last pasuk in the Torah, V'yata kisvu lechem es hashir hazos. So the Rambam, again, not surprisingly, counts this as a mitzvah min haTorah. The Rambam in mitzvah Yud Ches says, HaMitzvah Yud Ches hi, sheyiyeh li, sheyiyeh lekol ish mimeno sefer Torah la'atzmo. V'im kasu biyado, hu mishubach ma'od. V'hu yoseh tov, k'mo she'amar b'benachos daf lamed, kasu biyado ma'alola kasov ki'ilu, kibel mahar Sinai. V'im iyashar lo, lichtovo tzoch sheyikanuhu, sheyishu purchase, shekanehu o yiskor mi shekasvu lo. So if he can't write for himself, which I think is most of us, so he should buy one, or he should rent one or something. Ki ein muter lichtovo satoira, parshos parshos, gemar and gittin. Ki omram rotza, Be'amro es Ashira kol haTorah kula. So there is also in the fun machlokis there about how exactly the Torah has to be written, and if you write a parsha, if you do anything, fine. So that's the Rambam's paskin lahalacha, that every person is chayav to write a sefer Torah. We know the Melech had also a din, but that's the Rambam over here. So that's a very nice first halacha, very nice, very cute. the famous Minchas Chinuch. So you can find your Sefer Minchas Chinuch, which we do have in the mitzvah. Anybody know what mitzvah it is? Tayyar, the last mitzvah of the Torah, which is where the Rambam could have written this too, writes Shetivonu liyos lekol ish mi Yisrael Sefer Torah im kasu biyado harei zeh meshuvah v'ne'ab meod k'mo she'amar zechonu levracha barang machos kasu kalomar biyado malay kasu ki ilu kibo mahar sinah. Same Gemara, interesting. Umi she'efshar lechto biyado yatskir, same thing. Shenemar v'kisvu l'shem ashir azoyz kisvu lachem torah she'esh bo shirahu, right? Because it says ashir azoyz, we learn the shir is of course the, this is the chinuch right now, not the minchas chinuch. These are about oisos gedolos, oisos ketanos. You have to be careful with every single ois when you go ahead and write it. This is agreed. Fine. So, at least two of the sefer mitzvahs discuss this. Now, vayter b'shasa paiskim. The lashon of the Rambam and the lashon here in the minchas chinuch says a person should try. So the question is, and I now I'm going to call out to the audience, what is the reason for that? Why does a person have to write a Sefer Torah? Is the din a din in writing a Sefer Torah, shkoyach, or is there another thing going on here? What do you guys think?
I think if there's a mitzvah, is this being recorded?
It is.
Is it? Okay.
Yes. So it doesn't mean to go on while you talk, it's just being recorded.
Okay. If
depends what you say now. Should I pause it?
To write a Sefer Torah, it sort of gives that extra push, like, oh, if I have to write one all at once, so I should probably learn it.
Yeah.
At the same time, so that I know what I'm writing. It's more like a practical sort of.
But why? What's the tachlis of why you have to write a Sefer Torah? Yeah.
Sometimes you gotta invest in something.
No. One possibility for sure is that a person has to write a Sefer Torah. But one could argue that there's something going on here. Why? It's the pillar of the relationship with the brothers. I'm fine. New. Something else. Okay. Good. Close. Not what I'm looking for. Also not what I'm looking for. All along the same lines, same answers. Tachlis, they only had Torahs then. So they wanted you to learn Talmud Torah. So if I had my own Torah, I would be able to learn Torah. I didn't have all these Svarim here. So it could be that today, that we don't ever, I don't think generally, take out a Sefer Torah and says, ooh, I want to show you a shot in this week's Parsha. No, take out the Torah. Well, people would be like, Rav Hartzion, what are you crazy? What are you doing? You can't do that. You can't. That's what they used to do. And we'd open up the Sefer Torah and say, oh, Zayis Chukas HaTorah. Nobody does that anymore. So maybe it's not the same Chiyav. This is an important way of looking at it. The Rush in Hilchos Sefer Torah says the mitzvah of Ksira Sefer Torah is the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. We'll see a Shagras Aryeh later. The mitzvah is for you to learn Torah. So if you could accomplish that in another way, i.e. just by Svarim, maybe that's good enough. Yes, sir?
But then why is there two separate mitzvahs of Talmud Torah?
What do you mean?
Surely that should just be in Talmud Torah. It should be Talmud Torah.
You're going to say it's part of the mitzvah of that. Right. So what does it mean? The kasuv lachem. So maybe we could say the same thing. Obviously, I'm not, I just realized the minchas chinuch and the Rambam counted as a mitzvah saseh to write the Sefer Torah. It says yishtadol adam. But according to the Rush, the whole mahus of the point here was to enable Talmud Torah. But again, the difference would be, I have two possibilities. I could ve'agita bo'yom v'layla learn everybody else's Sifrei Torah. I could learn everybody else's Mishnah Berurah, Shulchan Aruch, blah blah blah. I could do that, but says V'ata kisvu lachem is Shir Hazos. I have a special din, a kiyum, every time I buy a sefer. Every time, obviously, I write a sefer Torah. But maybe writing a sefer Torah is not the be all and end all anymore. The Rambam in Hilchos Sefer Torah in Perek Zayin says the following startling line. At least according to me. I get startled sometimes by the Rambam. Mitzvah Saseh Kol Yishvich Yisrael Lichtoy Sefer Torah La'atzmo Shenema V'yatza Kisvah L'chem L'shir HaZoyz Kol Yimar Because it's the Torah Sheish Ba Shira. Zet Lifni. This is all what you said, by the way. I don't mean to discount it. It's a beautiful thing. Continuing the Mesorah shows the Chashivus of the Torah. It's a Shira. Kaloma Kisvu Es HaTorah Sheish Ba Shira. Zet Lifni She'ein Koisvim Es HaTorah Parshos Parshav Al Bishanachav Al Adam Avos HaTorah Mitzvos Lechtov Mishalo V'in Kosva B'yador Harei Ki Evil Kibel Mesinai. No chiddush. Vim einu yadur lechtov, acherim ktov lo. Zaradu adei shlichus. V'chol magia v'sefer Torah, afilu os echad areze ki'ilu kasav kulo. Paskin the Rambam, if I write even one letter, it's ki'ilu that I wrote a sefer Torah. Now you could argue to me, that means that's only if you pay the $30,000-$50,000 to write a sefer Torah. And then, as we know, at the end, they have the last 50 letters are not written. This Shabbos, we had a challenge of minyanim. I'm not sure why, but there were many minyanim taking place, more than usual. I'm not sure why. So they only have three Sifrei Torah. And as we know, the one in the Kolel can never be moved, except the Shabbos. And so they have only three Sifrei Torah. So somebody joked and said, what do you mean, we're having a Chanasa Sefer Torah here on Sunday? Let's use that Torah. What's the problem? They didn't finish the last 50 words. Yes, okay. And in fact, I'll tell you another little fun story. Fun little ditty. This is extra credit. You get this for free. So, yeah. So, and it's before breakfast. I know it's hard. So, for me at least. In the shul that I am a member of, Mishkan Shiloh in Ramat Shiloh, Rav Bagno, the Marad Azra, they did not have any Sifrei Torah. They had the challenge that I would, you know, maybe disagree and say, don't write a Sefer Torah anymore, we don't need your Torah. They needed a Torah desperately. They didn't know what to do. So one of the members of the shul was talking to his family about, writing the Sefer Torah, and they don't have one. And he says, oh my God, we have a great idea. Grandma remarried Grandpa. I guess you can call him your step-grandpa. And step-grandpa was the president of a very affluent, famous conservative shul in New York. However, surprisingly or not, that shul has died, meaning the members of the shul died, the area that it was in, and they're holding plenty of Sifrei Torah. They don't know what to do with it. What's the problem? Yes, I said it was a conservative shul. Correct. So the question is, can they donate a Sefer Torah that was conservative? Not our topic today, but part of Sefer Torah. What do you think? Wait, who wrote the Sefer Torah? Yeah. Oh, Vodizor, what are you talking about? I'm going to put on a white Torah? We're off. Oh, what's up? Vodizor. Nu, what do you think? Who wrote the Sefer Torah? Oh, thank you. That's the answer I wanted. He said, probably. Unfortunately, with halacha, probably doesn't work for us. The question is, who wrote the Sefer Torah? So if you were to research history, history tells us until recently mamish, in the last number of years, basically there was no such thing as writing a Sefer Torah by a non-Orthodox person, except Stukim. They used to write Sefer Torah. So there's a good lump. This is when we use halacha, research in halacha to paskin halacha. We don't assume, my understanding was, because it was so old, it was 100 years old, we don't assume that the Sefer Torah was written by somebody who wasn't Orthodox. However, maybe it was written by Stuki, which is Aser. So there is a very interesting history that when the Stukim wrote the Sefer Torah, they would complete the entire Sefer Torah. Why? Because as you know, as I will see today, the Sofer comes up with the Sefer Torah to write the last letters. Obviously. That's what happens. So, once they saw who the Sofer was, the Stuki guy, nobody wanted to buy Torahs from him. So what would he do? He would write the whole Sefer Torah and says, I'm sorry, I can't come. Here's the Torah. So it was known that if you got a Torah that was written completely, that could be problematic. So, okay, how am I going to know if the last 50 words were written, letters or whatever? Very easy way. Yes, very good, excellent. See how messy they are. So if you look at the end of a Sefer Torah, you'll find that many of the letters do not look like the other letters. What generally the Sofer does is that he will outline the letter and you'll fill it in. It depends. There are different Sofers do different things. If he's a Hasidic sofer, he will not usually let you write the letter unless you went to the mikvah. If he's one that cares about his money, he will let anybody write a letter. He doesn't care so much. In fact, I've been to Hachnasa Sefer where great, great people, like the Prime Minister of Israel, wrote a letter. So what do you mean he's not from? So it probably doesn't matter because the outline is what was important. Okay, fine. Not for now. The funny part about this, in this case, they donated 2 Sifrei Torah. Both of them were found to be puzzle about 6 times. They donated the Torah. They found it wasn't Siddiqui Torah. Then I think at some point they found some sort of stamp in it that verified that. But in any case, it was checked by a computer system, and unfortunately they did a horrible job and they found many mistakes in it. Anyway, they got all the Torahs in those days. Yes, sir.
Is a sofer allowed to sell a sefer Torah if he knows it's going to a conservative
minimum? Ooh, what are you, Rav Zilberstein? Yes, Rav Zilberstein was asked a shaila. It's a very, very good question. Some of the answer would be no to that. That he would not do if he knows that the purposes are going to be used. The big problem here is what we call bizarion Sefer Torah. If we know that there's going to be a bizarion to the Sefer Torah, so we're going to have a more serious problem. And that's considered a bizarion. The Sefer Torah is going to be used with microphones, with mixeding, all these things. That could be a potential problem. Others might argue, not Rav Zilberstein, but others might argue that this is the way to get them on the derech. They're going to start, if they don't get it from you, so now they're going to find some other person. A woman's not supposed to write a Sefer Torah, not allowed to write a Sefer Torah, so they're going to have, there's a conservative or reform woman who writes the Sefer Torah now. So they're going to do that? Should they do it in the right way? It's very interesting, shaila. Rav Zilberstein was asked, furthermore he was asked about a guy who's a carpenter, and he's going to make the Aron. Can he make the Aron? I don't know, so he's very stark on this, you can't do that. We have Kavod Sefer Torah. That's the question. How far we go to Kavod Sefer Torah?
In which case, if we follow the first thing, first opinion you said, that we don't sell, then surely the people that are selling are not religious, and thereby we can't go and take the Sefer Torahs and use them in religious shuls.
You mean the case of the conservative we just said?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, he was giving it as a gift. But he's not selling it. He wasn't selling it, first of all. But he wasn't selling, meaning when he was selling it, the person who wrote the Sefer Torah, I'm sure, has been dead for quite some time, since he wrote it 100 years ago. So he's just, let's say he was selling it, a conservative is going out of business, we're selling Sefer Torah for $10,000 in a thrift shop, in a, what do you call it, garage sale, I don't know. But that's not considered to be, that's not the same thing. First of all, you're buying it for Orthodox purpose. You should make sure to buy it in that case, so that it doesn't go to other hands. In fact, I'm sorry. Sure. One more time, yeah?
Yeah, if that sofa is now dead for 100 years, when violated halakha by selling it to a conservative show in the first place, then
I'm sorry.
It's not religious, so we shouldn't be using it.
No,
the conservative show could have bought
No. It doesn't make him not religious. It makes him follow the other shita that says, let them do kiruv.
It is a valid shita.
It is a shita, yeah, I think so. Okay, let's continue. So the Rambam we saw says that maybe even writing one letter, so today, if you're smart, you should go to get buddy, go to breakfast now with Mr. Katz and say to him, hey, is there any way? I've always wanted to my whole life. This has been something. Probably he might let you. Hey, listen, Hartstein, you know, it's a problem. He really shouldn't write a letter because I know things about him. And then you'll trump it and you'll get to write the letter. So according to the Rambam, you're Mekayim the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah. Some argue that that's not true because it's talking about the person who actually bought the Sefer Torah, not anybody else. You see that there are Sefer Torah campaigns. Write one letter. So there are poskim who say that that is part. If I'm not mistaken, Rav Chaim Ozer Gudzinski put out a letter when the Chabas Chaim was nifter that everybody in the world should write a Sefer Torah l'zecher nishmaso. And I think he wrote it. The last line was, anybody who does this is Mekayim the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah. Like we just saw in the Rambam. Very, very, very interesting. In fact, the Gemara in Menachos that we quoted, Rav Sheshes, says basically the same thing. So if you write one letter, it's like writing a Sefer Torah. Yeah. Okay, Vaita, there's a machlekes in the Rishonim. I'm sorry, yes, sir.
What happens if, like, let's say a group of people grouped together, and each of them, like, say, one by Gracious, one by Shemos, play a
Kovarim, or Mistama, there's something to that. Yeah. So shuls have this all the time.
Yeah,
buy a parsha, buy this. Then you have the double selling. It's a Gnevas Das question. Can you do that? So they have a certain who I already bought Parsha Shemos, and then they have a guy also selling Parsha Salmon. I don't know how that works. Sefer Shemos, I'm sorry. Or, right, I bought all of Sefer Shemos, and this guy also bought Az Yashir. I don't know how that works exactly. But you could do that.
Told me to do that.
To do Parshas Amon.
To sell.
Oh, so he'll save the Torah. Yeah, okay. So, fine. Machlokes in the Rishonim about if one buys a Sefer Torah that's already written. He buys it on the market. I know somebody who this is something that he did. He would, quote unquote, save Sifrei Torah. He would get a Torah from the Holocaust and he would spend a lot of money to fix the Torah, but it was far less money, right? Or there would be a Torah that wasn't being used anymore. And he checked it and he needed to fix it. So instead of spending $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 on the Torah, he spent less than $10,000. So according to Rashi and Menachos over here, it's not, you're not Makayim the Mitzvah. Because there was no, maybe because the Mukhe Yosef comments on this Rashi, he didn't have any effort in doing the Mitzvah itself. Maybe. And the Ram seems to say the same thing. However, others disagree. And if you look at Shulchan Aruch Yoredeah, Simon 270, over there, that's what he says. That a person does fulfill his obligation as long as he does betachlis, writing the Torah. What would be the reason for that? Again, he has to learn Torah betachlis. Yeah. So, what happens, the Sefer Torah's Chaim says, what happens in a case where a person, Nebuch Lo Aleinu, gets the Sefer Torah stolen from the shul? I have a friend who wanted to do this as a joke. There's a certain shul that we used to daven in. It's not a funny joke, I guess. But there's a certain shul that we davened in, and they did not ever lock the Aron Kodesh, nor lock the shul ever. And he was very bothered, so he went to the board members and he said, please, I'm begging you, something's going to happen, you're just leaving me for a problem. So he decided that one night he's going to go to the shul and steal some of the Sifrei Torah, and from then on, he's going to return it, obviously. So he's going to... he went out that night to go ahead and do it. Of course, you know, he wore ninja clothes and stuff like that to make sure. And right before he did it, he called the rabbi of the shul. He said, this is probably, you know, I don't want to go to a place I don't want to go. The rabbi said, of course you can't do that. That's awesome. Not even steal for a joke. So he didn't do it in the end. But then he told everybody the story, so they put locks on the Sifrei Torah. What happens if your Sifrei Torah gets stolen? Do you lose the mitzvah now? The Tevus Chol Chaim says, yes, you lose the mitzvah. If you lose the Torah, you lose the mitzvah. It's not so partial that that's true. You know, it is true that the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin, the Chaf Aleph, that it can't be given over by Yerusha. So, if my grandfather passed away and he left me his Sefer Torah, I could take the Torah, but I'm not Makayim the Mitzvah of Kesiva Sefer Torah, which is weird, right? Because I have the Sefer Torah to learn. So maybe the same thing goes over here. Other posts can vehemently disagree with this and say, no, even if it was lost, or I actually donated. Most Sifrei Torah are never donated to a shul, for both insurance reasons and in general reasons. We never say, we say to the shul, you could lend the Torah. This allows you also to take it whenever you want, but you never give the Sefer Torah, because then you would have this problem also, called the Torah Chaim, that it's not, okay, fine. A few other halachas that I found interesting. The Rush, in what we quoted there, in Hilchos Sefer Torah, clearly says that today Svarim would be okay, because the Sefer Torah anyway is kept in the shul, you hardly ever have a chance, and could be, by the way, you don't even have the key. So what are you going to do? You're going to take it out and learn from it? Nobody does that. It's used for public readings. It's not part of you, and therefore, maybe there's no mitzvah today. And the Shulchan Aruch seems to pass in the same way. Chiyuv of the Sefer Torah, the Rambam says, is for men, not for women itself. The question is why? The Rambam says a woman's not chayav to write a Sefer Torah. So the question is why? What do you guys think? What? What did you say? She has a mitzvah Talmud Torah. I disagree with you, but okay. I disagree with you that too, but she can learn both. But you want to say she can't learn Gemara, but she has to learn Mishnah Berurah. What? How can she not learn? How can she not learn Mishnah Berurah? Halacha Shalem. How's she gonna know about Hilchos Nida? Shulchan Aruch. No, I don't disagree with you. That's Torah B'Chasa, by the way. So she has a chiyuv. So according to the Rambam, she doesn't have to write a Sefer Torah, but maybe she has a chiyuv. Mitzvah Shalem. Oh, comes a Shachar and goes to task on this. He says, no, the Etzem Mitzvah over here is a mitzvah bir that she'll know the halachas. She doesn't have a mitzvah of Talmud Torah per se. She has to know, that's going to sound funny, but she has to know what bracha to make on Frutio's, right? Because she runs the kitchen in the house. She has a mitzvah to know Hilchos Nida. She has a mitzvah to know, you know, about Zmani Kriya Shema, whatever. But Be'etzem Talmud Torah shows a mitzvah, says the Shagas Aryeh. We be'etzem have a mitzvah, the Talmud Torah, and that requires us to write a Sefer Torah. But she would not have the same thing. Others disagree with the Shagas Aryeh, not for now. That's part of the Lumdas. The Beis Halevi. Is that we have a mitzvah. Oh, sorry. The Shagas Aryeh, I'm sorry, this is the name of the Beis Halevi. The Shagas Aryeh is the one that says that a woman has a mitzvah to mekayim the mitzvah shelahem, and possibly she's chayav. For other reasons, he's dachuk. The Beis Halevi is the one that says that when it comes to the fundamental mitzvah of Talmud Torah, a woman's not chayav, and therefore she would certainly not be chayav to write a Sefer Torah. That is probably possibly one of the reasons why she herself can write a Sefer Torah, because she's not a bar chiyuva. Others disagree and say, what do you mean? That's not true. She has a chiv and mezuzah. She's not allowed to write a mezuzah. Okay. Good, fun, lamdash, yishkoyach. Shabbos kuf yud ches, yuridea. Could only be used, a Sefer Torah could only be used of a kosher animal. Most agree that even if that animal, the Gemara says this, even if that animal is a trefa, right? A cow. And you, instead of you find out you did shechita on it, and you found out it's a trefa, and you give it over to Bob. So that you could write a Sefer Torah on, because it is a kosher, it is kosher, and that would be good. It's a question about fish skin. The Gemara says, not sure. Maybe you could use fish skin because it's a kosher. I don't even know if that's possible, but we pass in the Shulchan Aruch that a person cannot do that. Again, these are only some of the halachas of Siva Sefer Torah. Unfortunately, or fortunately for you, we don't have time to go into all the different halachas. I just wanted to end off, right, we quoted the idea of if it's lost or stolen. This is also a Piskei Tshuva, where he paskins as well, whether or not a person fulfills the obligation of his lost, or he donates it to the shul himself, not just the Torah Chaim. The Gra paskins that whether or not a person who has to purchase a complete Sefer Torah if it's completed already. He paskins, why not? Why can't a person do that? He disagrees with Rashi, who says, well, if it's completed, as we said in the Mukhe Yos, you have no effort. The Orach HaShulchan, Rav Moshe Feinstein, writes in Igros Moshe, in Yoredei Aleph, also, why the Ramah paskins the way that he does. And the Rambam no way implies that one cannot fulfill his mitzvah by buying a Sefer Torah. That's kind of what we do. So you want to say, he's buying it was already written. He doesn't see what the difference is, whether or not. I remember when we wrote our tefillin for my son, so I said, I know it sounds strange, can you not use tefillin that were written already? Can they be written specifically for the mitzvah of Yaakov Chaim Bedov Menachem? So he said, yeah, that's actually an Indian, the Sofer said. So it was funny, when we got the apartment, one of the things they do, you pay as part of your $1,000, is you get to watch him put it inside. Also, for me, because I always think they're scams, to make sure that that's the one that's going inside. So it actually, the Sofer wrote on the outside in pencil, I think maybe erased it, I'm not sure, that, L'shem Mitzvah's fill-in, and L'shem for Yaakov Chaim Bedov Menachem. So that would be over there as well. Okay, we should be Zaycha. Now that we understand a little bit of these halachos, please don't go up to the person who wrote the Torah and says, you know, there are certain teachers that say, according to the Rush, you didn't really have to spend all this money. Please don't do that. That wouldn't be nice. It is a tremendous kiyum, number one, for us to be able to be part of it. The simcha of the Torah, the shir of the Torah. So our dancing should be extra special when we're going on to do that to fulfill the mitzvah. I think there's great value to that as well. We'll join together in Mitzvah Shem and be Mesameach the Sefer Torah. We will bring out our Sefer Torah here from the Kolel to Yisameach with it, because it's a tremendous simcha of Kavod HaTorah. And of course, that is something that we certainly need today. It will help us in developing our own level of respect for Torah. And in Mitzvah Shem, we should be Zoicha to be able to have the money where there's no shaila at all, according to the Rav Moshe, and be able to write our own Sefer Torah.